So welcome to this episode with the amazing Sarah Black. Sarah works with individuals and organisations to transform how they communicate across cultures and differences. She brings more than 30 years of experience and expertise in communications to this work, and her own experience of living and working outside her home culture, moving from Northern Ireland to Norway, Texas, England, and now she's in Scotland. Her communications experience ranges from working with nonprofits and community organisations to some of the world's best known consumer brands. She's also a certified cultural intelligence facilitator, trainer, and podcaster. But I have the absolute pleasure of being a friend and a previous colleague of Sarah's. And I adore Sarah, and I'm so excited that you are here with us for this discussion.
Thank you. I'm slightly nervous that we're going to record one of our conversations because Emily and I talk all the time. So welcome to one of our chats, really.
Basically. And
yeah,
I literally just say to Sarah,
on the kind of conversation we have all the time. Thank you. That was it's lovely to be here, Emily, and it's lovely to meet everybody virtually that I know will be listening in.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited, Sarah. And we were just laughing beforehand. I haven't actually done a whole preparation in terms of the questions I want to ask because I know this conversation is going to be amazing. So I'm really, really grateful that you're here. And thank you, Sarah. So the topic we're talking about is AI. Now, I know, I believe, as women in our midlife, AI is an essential tool. But Sarah, I wanted to have this discussion with you because your views on AI are so amazing and the research you're doing is incredible. So what do you think? Do you think women need AI?
I think this is such an interesting conversation right now. And I think probably in the last, I'm going to say less than a month, I've been to three webinars and listened to two podcasts on AI, and I'm starting to read another book on AI. So I don't know if the question is that we should be using it as women in the prime of our lives. I think it's more that we might be running out of options not to use it. And I think that's the other thing I wanted to say about AI. I think this is really important, that if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, geez, I like, no, scary. It's already here. And so one of the really important myths about AI is that it sort of arrived with ChatGPT, and that ChatGPT is AI, or Claude. Other LLMs are available. But actually, with my reading and the things that I'm hearing from people, I've learned from other people, is artificial intelligence as a thing has been around for decades. And, you know, I think my understanding of it is, for example, you know, those things when Netflix, other streaming platforms are available, and they tell you, like, what, based on your choices, what would you like to watch next? Or Amazon, which is forever telling me what I need to read next. Some of that is artificial intelligence. Like, it's baked into so much of what we do.
Yes.
If you've got an Alexa and you're chatting to it at home, all of those things. I think what happened was that then ChatGPT arrived. I listened to something yesterday that said, what, like a million followers in a very short space of time. But I think one of the things I want people to go away from listening to this with is understanding that artificial intelligence and what we call these large language models, the ChatGPT, the Claudes, the others that are emerging, are not, that's just one part of AI. And so there's so much more about AI that is possible, and the technology, and it is moving so quickly. So one of the things I say on top of this is I am not an AI expert. There are brilliant people out there, and I'm happy to share some resources with Emily that you can go to that will tell you what's happening, what the latest tools are, what the next big thing is going to be, how you can use it. I think for us, it's probably, there's a lot around time saving, and there's a lot around, particularly if you're on your own business, there's lots of different ways that you can use all kinds of AI. I've been playing with a tool called Gamma. I'm going to double check that's right. Pretty sure it's Gamma. But if you have a model or an idea and you do not have the time or energy to throw it into Canva or PowerPoint or do all those things, you just pop your Word document in and it
Really?
will spit out some super gorgeous slides. Now you have to teach it some stuff, and then you have to make sure that it didn't rewrite your content as it did to me recently. I was like, no, that's not what I said.
We do say AI hallucinates sometimes. If anyone's in
Oh,
AI, it hallucinates. So.
it's yeah, and I find particularly with the I probably use ChatGPT a little bit more than Claude. I haven't quite worked out why different people prefer different things. And usually if it's something important, I will ask both. Which is really interesting. I encourage people to do that.
Yes.
But yes, it hallucinates, and it completely, I was writing something about a board that Emily and I used to sit on together, about the organization, not about the board. And it completely transformed the purpose of that. And like it clearly said, like our mission, the mission is, and then it came back as, dear goodness me, something completely different that I would not have
Buddy.
repeated.
Buddy.
But some practical things I think are the time saving, the efficiency or the productivity if you're under pressure. I read somewhere recently, I wish I could remember where, about someone who's using it to do their meal planning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, feed in what you need, get ChatGPT to help.
And I think, women in midlife, that's where it comes into its own, because part of the struggle we have is carrying the mental load. But
Yeah.
if we can improve productivity and save ourselves time, I mean, even when I'm cooking now, I try not to say it because it might come on, but if I'm cooking, I think, oh, that was the last jar of tomatoes or whatever. Hey, you know who, can you add that
Yeah.
to my shopping list? And
Yeah.
yes, that's added to your shopping list. It's like, well, I would have had to dry my hands, wipe it off what I was doing, then get my phone out, add it to my shopping list, and then keep going.
Oh, and life is just too short. So
Honestly.
I definitely think there's an efficiency and a productivity, and a convenience element to
Yes,
it.
yes.
I think that's massive. Even things like, just really practical example, I was trying to design something for my own business this week, and I couldn't. I thought I could either spend ages going through Canva looking for a template, or Canva will now. I said, here's what I'm looking for. And I basically wrote an AI prompt, and Canva created something. And then I pressed a button and it did it in my brand colors. And I was like, well, that took 30 seconds and it's lovely. Job done. So, in tools that you might be using, you're going to start to see advances.
Yes.
But there's another, I think, there's some, that's to me the immediate kind of like selfish, here's how I can use this
Yeah.
kind of thing. I want to talk in a minute about caveats to that, like where are the potential problems? What should you know? But there's a couple of other reasons that are kind of, I guess, more philosophical about why I think women like us should be involved in AI. One of it is that, as AI grows and learns, there's a question for me about what values we're teaching it. And I asked a while ago, I asked both Claude and ChatGPT, I call them all Harry. I asked Harry, does AI, do large language models let you have cultural values? And he said, no. And we chatted a bit about understanding culture and values, and he's quite knowledgeable. But he said he finds humor quite difficult to make sense of. And I thought, mate, don't we all? Like across cultures, humor is hard. And the technology is increasing leaps and bounds, and I constantly feel like I'm out of date. But
Yes.
there needs to be a human in the AI.
Yes.
And we have wisdom, expertise, experience that needs to be in that conversation.
Yes.
And so I'm constantly looking for where the voices we're not hearing in
Yes.
AI.
Yes.
And I listened to a brilliant interview with someone from a series called Starts at the Top, which I will send you the link to, and you can include it for people. But talking about the need to have a variety of human experience engaging with AI. And I think so often, might be a bit of projection going on here, but women of a certain age,
Yes.
in their prime, I'm going to
Yes.
say it again, in their
In their
prime,
prime.
are often not included in those conversations. So you look at women in STEM generally, you look at women in tech generally, and then you look at us. And I think it's really important that we are in those conversations. I think the other reason is that AI If you are like Emily, raising beautiful young women, or hopefully incredible young men as well, then AI is going to be such a big part of their lives.
Yes.
So understanding it is a key part of teaching them to use it responsibly and engage with it responsibly. Because in the same way, I remember having this conversation decades ago about whether or not you were a digital native or a digital immigrant. And I was
Yes.
working with very smart young women and men coming out of advertising, marketing, communications degrees, who, just were light years ahead of me in terms of social media at that time.
Yeah.
So I think being part of that conversation is a big part of parenting,
Yes. Yes, I
and
agree.
understanding, particularly when it comes to navigating the not so good side of AI and the deep fakes
Yes.
and how it can be exploited, understanding what's real, what's not.
Yes.
That piece around media literacy is really huge.
Mm.
And that's one of the things I would say about caveats is, yes, if you're using LLMs, which a lot of us are, other tools are available, then it will hallucinate. You need to be
Yes.
checking it. Like the example I've just given you about our nonprofit experience together. If I hadn't read that,
Yes, and just used
I'm
it.
totally misrepresenting that organization's purpose. And I've had a few other clangers. Now, 9 times out of 10, like the accuracy is improving all the time. But it's only as good as the prompt you give it.
Yes.
All kinds of things. So you really need to be engaged. I think critical thinking and the ability to look at something and go, is this accurate? Is it real? Is it fit for purpose? Is going to be huge.
It's going to be an
And
absolute
I
essential
think
skill. Yeah.
that's a core thing that we bring to the conversation because
Yes.
it's experience, it's expertise, it's, years of life.
Yes.
We just go, no, that's not a good idea.
And I think that's where, we've talked about it once in the past, I think, Sarah. As women in our midlife, in our prime, we bring that wisdom. We bring that life experience. We've been juggling the mental load. And so we can see things so much faster than that, than I'm just going to say it and call it, than men can. And so I think we do have so much to contribute in this space, because that's where we are able to excel.
And I think that diversity of our experience, the richness of our experience is really important. There's a lot of conversation to be had about the legality and ethics of AI as it develops. That's going to be very complicated. That's going to be messy. And I should say that I think the legal and the ethics might be two different things. Because there will be legal frameworks and they'll vary from country to country and place to place.
Yes.
But I think there's an also an ethical around, I'm thinking of more the corporate world now, I guess, but not just that, but the business world and people who are in work thinking about why are we like, what's the point? And I've heard two different people say this in two different ways, and I think it's such a good point, is that you can't just put AI on top of something that's broken.
Correct.
Not going to fix it.
No.
Might make it quicker, but it's
Make
not going to fix.
the
So, like, if your systems are your so someone who made this great point in this interview I was listening to last week, that you actually have to sit down and go, is AI the right solution to this? What really is the
failure
problem?
quicker.
And so that little bit of digging deeper, thinking critically,
Yes.
going, is this the solution? And it might be, and or it might not be.
Yes.
So I think that standing in our wisdom and experience, critical lens. I think it's also going to be interesting, again, think about future generations to see how much it impacts the world of work. Is it going to give us more time?
Yes.
And if our partners have more time, would we have less mental load? I
Not
don't know.
necessarily.
I mean, I'm sort of curious and cautious about how much AI is going to revolutionize the workforce. I think we're as a species quite slow to change. And so
Resistant
we
to
might.
change, resistant to
Well,
change. Yes.
yes, I was being kind.
Okay.
Slow. So sometimes we have to be taken kicking and screaming, let's be honest, as a species. But I think there's also, so I'm curious about the world of work. Is it going to free up people's time? To what end? Like, are we just constantly producing, like pursuing productivity? Are we, is, you know, what's all that about? But
Yes.
also, I think there are brilliant things about AI. How it's going to be used in medical situations, the care it's going to bring,
The
all of
example you
those things.
gave last time we spoke of the IVF work, where
Or
they
infertility
use AI
outcomes.
now to, how did you describe it? It's not to predict.
I just I just been listening to somebody in London, UK, talking about I think they were talking about basically assessing data basically so that you could look at the probability of a successful outcome in a specific situation of IVF and fertility treatment. Because they were talking about the emotional load of failed fertility treatment and trying to give people the best possible outcomes. And I think there's a fascinating amount of work going to go into healthcare, and to making healthcare more accessible. And that's what I mean is by all, I think one of the things I want to say to people is play with the LLMs, the ChatGPTs, the Claude. Like, if you're using a piece of stuff like Canva or anything else, podcast editing software, maybe only, there will be new AI tools all the time. Like having it take minutes in your
Oh,
calls,
in your
having
meeting.
it turn stuff into a blog, repurpose content. There's a great AI tool for finding research papers, which I'm in love with. Because just like, and also, I mean, even now, if you Google, like you're going to get the AI stuff. So play with it, embrace it, experiment with it, be critical of it, but also then I think start to understand where what it makes possible in the bigger sense of accessing healthcare, data analysis, things that would take a long time. But I think we need to just bring a really thoughtful, critical and savvy lens to it. And there are some other things. Environmental impact is a massive thing that I'm learning about. So being aware of that.
And for those
And
who don't know what that means,
oh yeah, sorry.
the AI tools obviously run off massive data centers, and to keep those data centers cool, A, they burn a lot of electricity, but they also burn a lot of water to keep them cool, and water is our scarcest resource. So, there are massive environmental concerns around AI if you're not familiar with it at all, and this is your first sort of exposure, there's, which I don't think anyone is, completely oblivious to it, but.
No, but it's I think it's just, I think it's a really important change development for us to be living through. And I think we need to lean in and share our wisdom and experience and engage with it. A, to make it as fit for purpose and as good as it could possibly be, and to have our voices heard in that. But also you think about the legacy that we're leaving and the way forward, then I think our voices really matter in that conversation. And I will say Trisha Carter, who I know is also part of this series, Trisha is an early AI adopter. I learn things about AI from Trisha all the time. And so we have lots, we're like on a constant chat about AI. And I'd be like, oh, I heard this podcast. You'd be like, oh, I have to share this tool with you. And so I think there's a part of the social dialogue about AI is that it's for younger people. And that's nonsense, frankly. So I think we need to not buy into the ageism myths that are out there about ourselves, and embrace
I
it.
guess
And
that's the lens I really wanted to bring with this conversation, Sarah, is that we are in our midlife, we are in our prime, and us engaging and using AI is absolutely imperative. As you said, so our voice is heard, but also because we bring the wisdom to bring that critical thinking is to say, actually, that's not okay, or actually, ethically, no, that's not good. Because I don't think other people, men, my husband could be outside the door right now. I don't think they bring that same lens. And I'm speaking from, I guess, a social viewpoint of the conversations I'm having, but also in the workplace, the conversations I'm having, I just don't see that same lens coming in.
Yeah, I think I remember years and years and years ago having a conversation with a very, very smart young colleague. He's now a very senior level in the agency I used to work in, and he's incredibly bright. I mean, just huge brain, very smart. And I would just say to him, but men just like stuff, Sarah. You know, and I was like, don't get it. He was like, yeah, it's a gender issue. And I was like, clearly. But one of the things that frustrates me a little bit in the PR and comms industry, which can be a young person's game sometimes, is there's a lot of excitement about the tools and the tech. And I really want to hear more conversation about the ethical impact, what this means to the future of industry. Should we be, one of the big conversations is you can use AI tools to create like an avatar. So we could take this recording, Emily, feed it into an AI-based tool, and it could create, that, and then give it a script, and it would recreate that in our voices. Now, in theory, I'm personally like, oh, eek, as soon as I hear that. If you've got a busy chief executive, then I can see the benefits, but I also think there's an issue around trust and connection. And I also have a personally a big question about using technology that is so easily manipulated in a negative way. And so the worst side of AI is how that's exploited, the deep fakes, the fake phone calls, all of those sorts of things. And so I think that if we're not part of the conversation, we don't get to have a voice in those big critical issues. And increasingly, that's the conversations that I want to be having about this.
And Sarah, you're doing an amazing amount of work in this space at the moment. I know you said you're not an expert, but you are. And you do, are putting together a white paper. And I really do encourage people. I've got your link in the show notes to connect with you on LinkedIn for your newsletter. But I really do encourage people to connect and subscribe to your newsletter because, the work you're pulling together with this, the insights you're sharing, it's coming through a personal interest, but it's coming through being completely engrossed in the topic as well. And I personally can't wait to read your white paper. So I encourage
I mean, I
everyone else to
think
get involved.
it's for me, there's kind of a marriage of two interests here, or three interests for me in the world of artificial intelligence. One is that it's a huge issue for the communications industry right now. And that's an industry certainly in the UK where people are struggling to get jobs. There's been layoffs, it's a tough market. And some of that is being attributed to AI. I don't know if that's true or not. There's a lot of debate about how much are we using it, or are we just saying that we're using it, or all those sorts of things. But then also, I think a really interesting cultural intelligence. How do we make, when you think about the voices that are involved in AI, a lot of it until recently was coming out of the US. We've now got China being more involved. Who's got the power and the voice and all those kinds of things, and is that culturally diverse at any level? I have questions about that. And so, but also it's a whole new, it is literally a whole new world potentially. And so how do we navigate that the best way that we can? And so I'm really interested in how we do that in a world that's just increasingly complex and tricky to navigate. I did read somewhere, and I wish I don't have the source for this, but I'm going to throw it in because I just love this little nugget. And LinkedIn throws so much stuff at you, and I read so much stuff. But I will try and track it down. But I read somewhere this week, so take this with a pinch of salt, folks, that it was found more effective that you would get a nudge from somebody you knew well, say by WhatsApp. If you ever had Emily as a coach, you may have had one of those nudges by WhatsApp. But that's more effective than having an AI coach send you a message. And AI coaching is a big issue, and I know that. So I mean, I just think that this is such a big, big conversation that we cannot afford for our own sakes and the generation after us for us not to be in and not be bringing everything we know about into this conversation, because you're
All of
going to
our
be having
wisdom.
AI in the
All of
classroom. It's already there. It's here. It's not like I'll get around to it. It's like it's in your laptop. You need to get to grips with this.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I think, if One thing I wanted people to take away from this, and I'll ask you a question in a moment, but the one thing I wanted anyone listening to take away is that we are bringing wisdom and experience, and that lens in AI and the use of AI is imperative. And that's what I wanted to get out of this conversation. But Sarah, what's one thing you want people to take away from what you've shared with us today?
Well, you've just put it so brilliantly, really.
Sorry.
I no, that's all right. I think I want to take away people's takeaway that this isn't, I don't think we have an option. Don't think you can go, it's not for me, because like it's in your life pretty much. And so don't be afraid of it. Don't tell yourself it's not for you, because you have a phenomenal amount to offer. And it has a phenomenal amount to offer you if you can handle it the right way.
And your voice is essential. Absolutely.
Yes, people need to hear what you have to say, including Harry and ChatGPT and Claude and all the things.
And we've only just scratched the surface because, 20 minutes is not enough time. But
No.
I think it is an opportunity for people to get a glimpse of some of your work that you're doing. And as I said, please do follow Sarah's newsletter because she is going to drop that white paper and it's
Soon.
going to be awesome. But also, everything Sarah shares is always really insightful and inspiring. So thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for being here with us today, Sarah.
Thank you. It's I'm looking forward to listening to everybody else.